Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
Living to win Jesus race. Living to win Jesus race. It is very interesting because 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse is 8. The word of God says that godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. It means that serving God, living to serve God is a gain. Living to serve Almighty God, it is a gain. Living, dedicating your entire life to serve God, it is profitable in everything. You gain in all things. He said that number one, having promise of the life that now is. In other words, as you live and serving God, you profit in your current life. You profit in your current life. The life that you are living here on earth, it is going to be a profitable life. And not only that, he said also the life which is to come. In other words, you serving God, now it is profitable for you now, and it is also going to be profitable for you in the life to come. The whole message of today is taken from Proverbs chapter 3, and the verse is 1 to 12. It is a scripture that describes the life, how one needs to conduct himself. What are the things that are essential in life for you to follow so that one day you will meet with your Jesus Christ? So we're going to read the scriptures first. And then afterwards, we will break it down to see what the Lord God is telling us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. That says the word of God. He said, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For thy length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrows to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Amen. Wonderful scripture. It's a scripture that directs one that is going to take a journey, what you need to be careful with to have a successful journey. And we have said it, the journey is to go towards Jesus and one day be with him. We are breaking it down because this scripture is divided into six parts. And we're going to go one by one looking at them. The first one is Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. 1 and 2. The 1 and 2 says, he said, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add today. It is very simple. If you have no life, if you are dead, you cannot make this journey to Jesus. If you are dead, you cannot be faithful to the assignment that God had given you. He said that there is no counsel in the grave. In other words, God put you here and he wants you to fulfill his mandate over your life. If for any carelessness in your life, you become victim to death, then the purpose of God shall not be accomplished in your life. So number one, the Lord said that you are to be careful so that you can live. You are to be careful to sustain the number of days that God has given you. And it is written here that you have to know what you need to live. You have to know what you need to see every single day, day by day. The year had begun. It is because you have accomplished 1 year before. And these are number of days that are in 1 year. It's a day by day that Almighty God is walking with his children. The Lord said that the length of thy days, the length of thy days, the days sum up, becoming years, and the fulfillment of God shall be accomplished in thy life. God wants you to live and live long as he has given you. God wants you to live a long life with peace. If you are praying and saying that God give me long life, but your life is a torment, for what purpose? God's purpose is that you live here fulfilling the number of days that he has given you in peace. In peace. And he said that peace comes out of his word. That is why you need to keep the law and the commandments of Almighty God. The people of the Old Testament, they have the law. But the children of this generation, Jesus Christ had also brought the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2. It is that law that have set us free from the law of Moses. But at the end of the day, what is important is that you keep the commandment of God that is in Christ Jesus. Is it possible for a man to live and keep the standard of God as his purpose of life? Of course, God wants us to make his standard, his word, the standard of life. God wants us to make his word our standard of living. So it is possible. God will never demand man something that man cannot accomplish. If God asks you, it's because he will empower you to do so. So it's a life that is possible. You are asking, you know, yourselves, why should you make God's word the standard of your life? You are asking yourself, why should you make God's word the standard of your life? I'm going to give you three reasons. Number one, because God is not a man to lie. God is not a man to lie. He said it in 1 Samuel 15:29. He said that the strength of Israel, which is God, will not lie nor repent. For he is not a man that he should repent. So the one that tells you that take his word as your standard of life cannot lie to you. He cannot lie. Everything about God is all truth. Because there is no lie in him. So that is the reason why you can trust on the word of God as a standard for your life. It's the word of God, not the word of man. Number two reason why you should make God's word a standard for your life. Because Jesus Christ said in the book of Luke 8:11, the Lord said that the word of God, he said, the seed is the word of God. So the word of God is a seed. The word of God is a seed. And a seed is meant to sow. And when you sow that seed, it shall bring forth. So as you take the word of God as your standard and sow it into your life, something is definitely going to happen to your life. Something is definitely going to happen to your life. And I want to elaborate that by confirmation from God's mouth. Isaiah 55 and the verses 10 to 11. The word of God says, God himself said, for as the rain cometh down, it's like he wants to swear. God is swearing to himself. He said, as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and the bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see that? This is confirmation from his own mouth. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven. It's like God is swearing. He said, I'm telling you that as you can witness on earth here, rain that comes down from heaven. And the snow that is also coming down from heaven. And it is not returning to God. But until what it does is that it does something on the things that God has planted on the earth. And those plants that are being watered by the rain and the snow, God said that it is bringing forth fruit. It is producing. It is meant to produce. And he just compared it. He said, so shall my word that comes out of my mouth. When it comes like the rain to the things, the trees on the earth. It will water your life. And as it waters your life, the purpose of God, which are the trees in your life, they will receive nourishment from above. And you will see yourself bringing forth spiritual fruits. And you will definitely live a life. Not only you are going to accomplish the plan of Almighty God, but you will see the transformation within you, bringing forth spiritual growth, spiritual truth, spiritual, you know, relationship, that you see people, you just love them. A life of peace. It comes out of God's word. And it is confirmed what God said in Isaiah 55:10 that we read here. It is also confirmed by the time that God started creating the world, creating the earth. Let me put it this way. Because Genesis chapter 1 and the verses 11 to 13. You know, God, the first day, God created. The second day, God created. The third day, God created. God used 6 days to create the heaven and the earth. And the Lord spoke to the earth. His word. The word that came out of his mouth. He said that God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb, yielding seed. That is what is coming out of his mouth. And the fruit tree, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So he said it, and it was so. He said it, and it was so. And the confirmation that it was so is that he said, and the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. God said it. Whatever. I said, God said it to the earth. Earth received the word and brought forth exactly what God said. And afterwards, the Lord looked at it and he said that it is good. It means he's pleased in what he has done. And this is exactly what he said. He said that I send forth the word that comes out of his mouth. It shall not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall accomplish that which I please. So one thing about God's word is that when the Lord has spoken his word unto you, God is watching over that word to see it performed in your life. The word of God that you receive, it is always returning back to him. He said, my word that comes out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. Void means without result. So God sent his word forth to accomplish something. And then for the thing to come out, for God to see that it is what? It is good. And he is pleased. This is a kingdom principle. This is a life principle. God, he speaks in his power. When God has spoken, it is final. No one has the ability to come and say that I am going to change what God wants to do in your life. That is what I'm always saying. I said the greatest enemy of you is yourself. By the time that you make yourself available for God's word to work in you, there is no way that that word shall not bring forth God's purpose in your life. It is interesting because he said that what he sent forth, it is to please him. So in other words, God is taking so much joy to see you living and be fulfilling what he wants you to do. God is not pleased to see his children moving around and complaining, and it is not his will. When you are sharing tears, God is sharing more than double tears on your behalf. Because he knows what he has done. He knows what he has planted in you. So when we are moving around, we complain, he said, I am not really loved. Let me tell you, this is the word of the enemy. Take God's word and let it bring forth in your life. You will see that the whole heaven is at work just for your life. Just for your life. Because he said that the word shall not come out of my mouth and return unto me void. So God is waiting to see result coming out of your life. And not negative result. Because he's a good God. He's a good God. And everything that comes out of him, he does it not for you, but for himself, to please himself. That is one thing about it. That God, he wants to please himself. So when he talks to you, the result that comes out of you should be something that is going to satisfy God. And he said, I am pleased. That is why he makes sure that whatever that it takes for you to live a life, a glorious life, that your God shall be very proud and say that, yes, this is my son. Yes, this is my daughter. And the Lord is so much joyful. That is what God wants us. And number three reason is that God's word, you should take it as a standard of your life, because the word is a spirit. The word itself is a spirit. You cannot worship this God. I am amazed how people, we have group of spiritualists, traditionalists, and all kinds of, you know, doctrines that are out there, and using the Bible, the same words that you are reading, using these words and doing all kinds of evil. And we wonder, is it not the Bible that they are using? It is the Bible that they are using. Some of them are reciting the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. What we know as the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, and which is not the Lord's Prayer, which is more like the disciples' prayer. But they are using it unto evil. They are using it unto evil. So you understand that. How is that possible? It is possible because it is based on how they worship. How they worship. How do you, what is it that you use to approach this word of God? If you approach the word of God by the Spirit of God, then the word is beneficial to you. Jesus said that in John 6:63, he said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God that you are reading by the Spirit of God, it is God speaking directly to you. And he said that as you are reading your Bible, the word become actualized in you. Why? Because the Spirit of God is impacting the purpose of God in his word to your spirit. That is why he said that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, Satan is also a spirit. Demons are also spirits. They that are worshiping Satan using the Bible, they can worship Satan using the Bible, but there is no way that they can worship using the Bible with the truth. This is where the difference is. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, John 4:24, they that worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is two things, in spirit and in truth. It's not the spirit or truth. It's the spirit and the truth. It has to go together. The two conditions have to be fulfilled before you will be able to see the impartation of the word that you are reading. The words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when the word of God tells us that, my son, Proverbs 3, 1 to 2, forget not my law. Keep my commandments. Thy length. He said that for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add it to thee. My word is a spirit. And they are life. My words are spirit and they are life. You keep the word of God with you throughout this journey. Number one, you will be spiritually connected. You will be spiritually connected and connected spiritually with the truth. And since you are fulfilling God's demand towards his word, the word will definitely flourish in your life. This is the reason why you will be able to live. When you are doing that, no power of darkness has any power over you. Why? Because you have come in contact with the living God. You have come in contact with the power from above. Whatsoever that is from above is above all. Above all. The promise of God is in action. I send forth my word to accomplish what pleases me. I send forth my word and my word shall never return unto me void. But it shall accomplish what I sent it for. It shall prosper. He said, it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it for. God's purpose for you is to live and bring forth souls. The Lord's word into your life will prosper for you to direct souls to Jesus Christ. So we said that number one, we make God's word the standard of our life. Living to win Jesus Christ. The first thing you should do, number one, make God's word the standard of your life. Number two, forgive and abide in the truth. It is interesting how truth is also mentioned here, because he said you have to serve him in spirit and in truth. And that is mentioned in Proverbs 3. The verse is 3 and 4. The word of God says, he said, my son, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Hallelujah. You see, man has this tendency. We go before God. We pray to God. We said, Lord, I am going for this appointment. Please, God, let me have favor. Be with me, Lord. Let it be successful. I want to see positive things coming out of this. God said that it is your responsibility to forgive. You know, he said, let not mercy and truth forsake you. You want to see favor over your life. You want to live a life where you have favor in the sight of God and favor in the sight of men. God said, you have to fulfill this condition. Mercy and truth should not forsake you. And he gives you instruction on how to take them with you. He said that you have to bind them in your neck like a chain, a necklace. That is mercy and truth. He went to the extent by comparing it to how he gave us the law in this day. Jesus Christ made it very clear. He said that the law of the Spirit, it is written in your what? In your heart and in your mind. So God said that let mercy and truth be written in your heart. In your heart. When you do that, you will have favor and good understanding in the sight of God and in man. Let me talk a little bit about mercy. You know, we have said this before. We said that mercy is what deals with our past. Mercy is what deals with our past. So God had mercy on us. He forgave us. He has forgiven everyone and each one of us. All our sins are completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no trace of when we used to be in the world out there. The Spirit of God identified us and brought us into the light and cleansing us, bathing us through the blood of Jesus Christ and took away any spot on anybody's garment. And we are cleansed, white as snow. So my son, now let's go. Remember how 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, not refurbished creature. Not refurbished, new creature. All things they are passed away. Behold, everything had become what? New, brand new. Brown new. Mercy. That's what mercy has done for us. And then, you know, it's interesting here because Hebrews 4:16 tells us that because Jesus Christ is our high priest on the right hand of the Father, he said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's interesting how the two words are going together. The Lord mentioned mercy and truth. That you need to have it written in your heart. It is said here that when you come before grace, the throne of grace, mercy is there. Forgiveness. You will obtain forgiveness. Whatever that has been done, that is why when you have sinned, quickly go before this throne. Confess thy sins for God to forgive you. Cleanse you quickly so that the enemy does not take advantage of you. And the grace is there. The grace is also found at the throne of grace. And the grace is helping you to deal with your current situation and your future. Any situation that you are struggling with, you find yourself under any condition of struggle, the purpose of grace of God is to help you come out of that situation and preparing you for the future, the things that are ahead. These two things, mercy and grace, are found before the throne of God. And that throne is called the throne of grace. The throne of grace. It is important for one to live a life of forgiveness. You have to live a life of forgiveness if you want favor in the sight of God and also in the sight of man. You have to live a life of forgiveness because Mark chapter 11 and the verse is 25 to 26. Jesus Christ made it clear as a commandment. He said, when ye stand praying, stand praying is when you have come before the throne of grace, where mercy and grace is. When you come before this throne in prayer, forgive. He said, forgive. If ye have aught against any, people have wronged you, forgive them. You come before this throne, people have wronged you, forgive them. If you do that, then your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. You have probably wronged someone that you don't even know. Someone has wronged you and you are holding so much onto it. God said that when you let go and release them, God also forgive your sins. But if ye do not forgive, you hold on to what people have done to you, and you come before this throne, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Simple. You are the custodian of your favor in the sight of God and in the sight of men. Condition: coming in forgiveness. Have the Spirit of God. Where there is a Spirit of God, there is what? There is freedom. You are not moving around having stones in your pocket against people. But your heart is completely cleansed. And you can therefore come and stand before this God and bring forth your petitions. It is so interesting how the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 talks about, says 6 and 7, talks about, he said that, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious about any situation. But in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Once you have done that, then the verse 7 says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That is favor. That is favor. When you are moving around with the peace of God, you find favor with God, favor with man. But how does it come? Out of prayer. Out of prayer. Where do you go and pray? The throne of grace. So this is crucial for a man's life. If you are not able to forgive people, you are scattering your destiny. If you are not able to release people that have wronged you, you are shortening your journey towards Christ. Devil is a liar. Satan is a liar. The one that the enemy released to come and wrong you. Please, it is meant that you destroy your own destiny. Quickly release them so that you can go before this throne for God's purpose throughout his word to be established over your life. There is power in the word of God. It is the understanding of the word of God and how we relate to him that frees you to fulfill God's plan over your life. You can never fail with such a word coming to you. Impossible. This is what is called God is good. He wants to see you coming out. The truth, mercy and truth, these are the two things. The truth came with Jesus Christ, because in John 1, 17 and 18, he said that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that no man have seen God at any time. That is the truth that Jesus is bringing. No man have seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, Jesus Christ himself, which is the bosom of the Father, he had come to declare him. He had come to declare him. So if you want to know God, know Jesus. If you want to know Jesus, know Holy Spirit. You want to know God, know Jesus. You want to know Jesus, know Holy Spirit. So it is very simple. As far as you cherish the Spirit of God in your life, the word of God shall be established and bring forth God's purpose for your life. The Holy Spirit will come and glorify Jesus. Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. Jesus Christ is the only one that was in the bosom of the Father and was sent here to live his life as an example for you and I, to follow his foot, you know, his footsteps. The footprint of Jesus is what we are following. There is no way that we cannot get there where he is. No way. That is why in John 16, 13, Jesus made a statement. He said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, you see that? God said, have mercy and truth written in your heart. Now we are breaking down. We saw mercy and we are breaking down the truth. He said that the truth actually is a spirit. It's a spirit that come upon you. So when the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That is why he's called the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. This is so. You see, again, the word of God. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit will only receive what the Father and the Son have said. And impact in your heart. What is that? That is the word of God that has come to you. That is the word of God that has come to you. That is why he's called the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit can never speak lies in your life ever, because it is never his nature. God said, I'm not a man. And remember, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He is called the Spirit of truth. And the, you know, the most wonderful part of it is that the guy is meant, the Holy Spirit is meant to bring forth only truth. And he's also a spirit of revelation. When people are moving around, visiting Baba and, you know, magicians and sorcerers, you know, trying to find out the outcomes of their lives. Let me tell you, by the word of God that reaches you through the Spirit of truth, he said that that Spirit of truth is also going to show you the things to come. What is the things to come? That is future. That is future. You are not blind. You are a child of light. When a child of light is coming, every darkness is break forth. Darkness is broken forth because there is light. Isn't that interesting? Every time that you get yourself in the dark room, you press the bottom, you switch it on the light, and then darkness disappeared. So it is. So it is. To every child of God that is filled with the Spirit of God, carries light. They see you coming, they are running away. Darkness is of darkness, and they don't like light. That is why they depart from the light. It is done by the Spirit of truth. You are going somewhere, you don't know where you are going. The Holy Spirit will give you details of what is to come. The traps of the enemy on the way, the Holy Spirit will give you the details and help you. He said he will guide you. He will guide you. Help you. When you need to resist the enemy, the Holy Spirit will empower you. You will resist satanic works. And the enemy will flee from you. He will show you the things to come. How wonderful that John 8:32 talks about, you shall know the truth because the Spirit of God has come upon you, and the truth shall what? Shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we have said it. Living to win Jesus. Number one, make God's word the standard of your life. Number two, forgive and abide in the truth. Number three, have faith in God and in Jesus Christ. Have faith in God the Father and in the Son, Jesus Christ. And it is written here, Proverbs chapter 3 and the verses 5 and 6. The word of God says, he said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Isn't that wonderful? That is faith. Trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own. That lean not unto thy own understanding is very important. Extremely important. Don't bring your carnality in there. Jesus Christ had lived a life of an example. This is not the time to start questioning and bringing mind, you know, buggling questions that the enemy is going to stand on and use it against you. You are in a train that is heading to a destination. Every station that the train will come to, there are distractions. People are coming in and others are going out. Please remain until you get to your end. Let not the distractions on the way distract you. And only God knows that in this world here, so much are the distractions that the enemy puts on our ways every single day. Every single day. These are the temptations and the trials and the loss of the flesh and the loss of the eye and the pride of life. These are all the things that the enemy trying to use them to distract your journey. Be wise. Having faith in God and in Jesus Christ. Jesus made a statement in John 15, 5. He said that he is the vine. You see that? He is the vine. The Lord said he sent forth his word. The word that comes forth. You see? There is a seed. The word is a seed itself. So when you plant it, it's coming to bring forth something. So he said that he is the vine and we are the branches. If we abide, he said, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Simple. Without Jesus, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing means what? Nothing. Nothing means nothing. Without Jesus, you cannot make it. Without Jesus, isn't it interesting that we are following his footsteps? And at the same time, he said that we should trust him and depend on him. Total dependency on God. Where we are going, he's the one that is holding our hands. He said, my son, let's go. I know where I am and I'm taking you. That is because Jesus Christ is a spirit. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. So it is possible. He is there and he has come to hold your hands and say, let's go. He knows where he is. And he is taking you there. You should not be looking for faith inside you, but the promise of God. That is the word of God. You should not be looking for faith inside you. That is why he said that, lean not unto thy own understanding. If you lean unto thy own understanding, it's like you are looking for faith within you. God, please give me faith. What do you mean by God giving you faith? That's not what we're talking about. He said that you have faith in him. So look unto him. Depend on him. If you depend on yourself, you will die. If you depend on yourself, you will die. But if you depend on God, you will live. It's as simple as that. You depend on yourself, you will die. You can't make it. It takes power to live. It takes power to break forth. It takes power to avoid distractions that are leading to death. And you don't have it. The only way that you get that power is when you have come to Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit that is within you to rule over your life. Submit your desires under the Holy Spirit. Submit your will under the Holy Spirit. Not my will, but thy will. And you will make it. Amen? You know, there are people, we have people that are enemies to themselves. We said it before. If you are living and trusting at the things that you do, like your job, your career, well, you are heading to die. You are heading to die. You know what? Because you will become enemy of God. And there is no enemy of God that is going to live in peace. They will also have eternal life, but eternal life will torment. How interesting. Apostle Paul said here in Philippians 4:18-19, he was talking to the Philippians. He said that, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often." So he mentioned something before, over and over. And now I'm telling you, even weeping, in tears, he was saying that again. That, what is it that he was saying it? He has been saying it over and over, and now he's saying it in tears again. He said that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. People that are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Who are these people? Whose end is destruction. So their end is what? It's destruction. Their end. So they are going there. You become God's enemy. You are heading to die. Their ends are destruction. Who are those people? He said, whose God is their belly? Whose God? Belly is stomach. Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things? This is amazing. You know what it means? It means that people that are living for earthly things, people whose mind are always on the earthly things. Let me see how many houses I will build. Let me see how many cars I will get. Let me see how much money. Let me see how great my job will be. You know, everything, your mind, your focus of life is all on things of this earth. All on things of this earth. Over and over and over and over. The things of this earth. And the Lord said that it is your responsibility to make sure that those things are out. Number four, fear God and depart from evil. Fear God and depart from evil. And it is mentioned here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. He said, "Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Romans 6:14 talks about, says, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law, you are under grace. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate it." And we are coming to an end. Number five, be a giver. Number five, be a giver. Proverbs 3 and the verse is 9-10. The word says, he said, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruit of all thy increase. So shall thy bowels be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out of new wine." And the Lord commanded us in Acts 20:35. He said that, "I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessing to give than to receive." You want to make it? Make your life to be a blessing life. Bless the work of God with your substances so that you will live and see the increase in your life also. And lastly, we are stopping just right here. He said that God is our Father who loves us as much as he loves Jesus Christ. God is our Father who loves us as much as he loves Jesus. And that one is mentioned here in Proverbs chapter 3 and the verses 11-12. When he said that, "My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither the weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delights." It is very true. Our fathers, when they correct us, it is because they are doing it out of love. And Hebrews 12:9 talks about, he said, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of the Spirit and live?" Of course. We have to come and reverence God so that we will live. Let me tell you one thing. We are done. We are done. In all this journey, just remember one thing. You have 6 points that you stand on for the rest of your life. Watch over these steps. Reverence them and do them. Where Jesus is, you can never miss it. Because the confirmation of all this is that Almighty God, he said, John 17:23, he said, I in them, Jesus Christ in us, the disciples, and thou in me, God the Father, in the Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be made perfect in one. We are pressing unto perfection. And out of it, we will become one in love. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.